Did you hurt your surgically repaired testicles?
Yes. Surgically repaired. Surgically manipulated.
Permission to use that for the cold open?
Go for it.
Hey, welcome to Super Social Club. I'm Jeremy.
This is Whiskey in the Six. I'm Rob.
Welcome to the Whiskey Ramp Podcast.
It's a little crusty.
It's frustrating.
And it's going to be a little bit of a rant.
I don't understand it. I don't know why.
Some sort of injustice.
Anyway, end rant.
Hello and welcome back to the Whiskey Ramp Podcast. I'm Jeremy.
I'm Rob.
Tonight, we're reviewing one of our favorite Compass boxes we've ever tried. It's Tobias and the Angel.
Yeah, this is a really high quality Compass box.
Yeah.
This is not your ordinary Compass box.
Yeah. So do you remember the breakdown of this real quick?
Yeah. So 24-year-old Kleinleash, which is 50.9% of the liquid.
Mm-hmm.
And then 34-year-old Kalila, which is 49.1% of the liquid.
Right. So almost an even 50-50 split. Kalila, Kleinleash. Yeah, I mean, like some serious age on these as well.
Yeah, 47.6% ABV, which is, I think, perfect. That's like, that's the money zone for me.
And I remember the very first time I tried this, Jasper had come over and brought his.
Yeah.
And I just remember as being completely blown away at how good it was. I mean, I always say how I love Kleinleash, big fan of their distillery. You know, that waxiness.
Yeah.
The subtle, like, kind of smokiness you get with it.
Yeah, very subtle, but...
Right? It's not like this, like, peat. It's just this weird kind of, like, subtle, like... I don't know if they do their barrels or whatever they do their spirit.
Yeah, I'm not sure if this is a combination of sherry and bourbon cask. I would think that it's predominantly bourbon cask.
Well, let's find out.
The thing that's cool that Compass Box kind of unlocked is when you mix Kleinleash and Kalila... You get a very old tasting and smelling Highland Park. That's kind of like what I get.
That's a great point, actually.
It's like old Highland Park. That's kind of what I'm getting.
To go back to your point, these are both refill bourbon casks.
Refill bourbon casks.
Yes. Yeah. Yep.
So, but it's quite a bit of bottles. So is it only two casks? Because it's like over 2,000 bottles.
No, I don't. I think it's more than just...
So just a few of, like a few refill casks of each.
They're refill
bourbon casks, maybe like two or three each. Yeah. Really, really, really nice nose.
It's just like, yeah, it's like, this is like, I don't know, it's like barbershop. It's like this leathery, you know, like armchair.
Something like minty, medicinal.
Yeah, there's like this like ever fresh kind of like note to it. It definitely reads Kleinleash to me.
Yeah, I can get, yeah. You get like a... Not a ton of smoke, but you get a little bit of smoke on there. It's not like heavily peated by any means.
Yeah, like the Kalila. We've had some older Kalila that drinks really heavily as far as peat-wise is concerned. This does not. This is like the peat's been like evaporated right out of this one.
Yeah, this is, I mean, older Kalila subsides in peat a lot. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know if you remember the 30-year-old Kalila that we had. I bought the bottle way back. That was like not very peated, but very salty. And that's what I get on the nose here is a lot of salt.
Yeah.
I just hit the mic. I apologize for that. A lot of salt. A lot of salt on the nose. I haven't tasted it yet, but that sweet, salty, heathery, like honestly, if I did this in a blind, I'd lose because I would think it's
Highland Park. You would say a Highland Park.
Yeah.
I would say Highland Park 25, Highland Park 30, something
yeah,
like that.
Yeah. It reminds me so much of the Highland Park 30.
The only thing is like you would maybe catch yourself is like it's more peated than the Highland Park 30 is.
On the palate it is, mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, on the palate is where you would start to distinguish this as something else. Because mm-hmm. on the nose, it's very Highland Park forward. But on the palate, you get more Kalila.
Yeah.
You get that more like muddy kind of peat.
I think John Glazer did a really good job of this because he obviously had like some old casks here.
Yeah.
He didn't do too much to it, right? He's just like almost half of this, almost half of this. I'm not going to mess around with anything more than that.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it's just like an elegant whiskey. It's like, it's the most elegant Compass Box I've had. Usually you get like some grit to some Compass Box stuff, right? They're like, they're heavier or whatever. Even like the Compass Box Enlightenment, which is like a Kleinleash forward, ex-bourbon, mostly matured thing.
Yeah.
It's got some grit to it as well.
Honestly, like if this was if this was a single malt tasting exactly like this from any company, mm-hmm. people would go absolutely bonkers for this.
Yeah.
They would lose their minds. They would grade it 1,000 and they would, you know, but because it's a blend, mm-hmm. it doesn't get a lot of heat, doesn't get a lot of attention. Like, you're not hearing about it. Like, it's not one of those things that people are like, oh yeah, that's one of the best whiskeys I've ever had. Where this is an amazing whiskey.
So, so good. Yeah, you know what? This would probably outperform a lot of distillery official bottlings of like 30 years.
Yeah. It's better than almost every 25-year-old scotch that I can think of, other than like maybe my top three.
Yeah.
And even then, it might be better than some of those. Like, what's the best 25-year-old you've ever had?
Springbank.
Okay, yeah. I was thinking either Springbank or maybe like, you know, but I have been 25-year-old. My first experience with that, I was pretty amazed. Obviously, like, that's like tampered or lessened over the years, but you know, I wasn't overly impressed with the Highland Park 25-year-old after the fact. Like, in the beginning, I was kind of impressed, but more shock value for that one. When you try the 30-year-old Highland Park, you really see the difference in quality.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to think. There's not many, if any, 25-year-olds I would say are better than this.
And we split a bottle of the Kalila 30 official bottling, right? Was it 25? Mm-hmm. 30. 30.
It was the 30. Did we split that bottle?
It was a great bottle.
It was a great bottle.
I think I reviewed it.
This is like all kinds of like melon. Like, I'm getting like cantaloupe.
Yeah.
I'm getting just really, really nice.
And that's like, those are the notes that I pick up in Kleinleash a lot, right? You get those like, those cantaloupes and melons and honeydew, tropical. And you get this like waxiness. And you do get the waxiness with this, which I love. It's like, that's how you can pick out a Kleinleash if you're not quite sure, right? Because like, not too many distilleries have that waxy kind of profile.
So I traded this straight up. Do you remember what I traded this straight up for? The Hazelburn 21.
Was it Hazelburn 21 or Hazelburn, was it the Thomas H. Handy? We confused this before.
So the Thomas H. Handy, we confirmed, was that Macallan Spey malt that Paulo and I split.
Yeah.
That we tried last
review
or whatever that was. This was traded straight up for a Hazelburn 21.
Okay.
Now, retail, I got the Hazelburn 21 for cheaper than what this was available for retail. Secondary, the Hazelburn 21 will pass this if it hasn't already, which it probably has.
Yeah.
Quality wise, this blows that Hazelburn out of the water.
Yeah.
This is way better than that Hazelburn.
Yeah. Yeah, I think like this is a perfect scotch for that, like, you know, special occasion pour. It's like it's elegant, right? It's like, it is an elegant dram for sure.
This probably is like, for a few of like, aside from a few of like my favorites that are like I'm nursing up here, it's probably my favorite bottle on the entire bar right now.
Yeah.
It's up there. It's the oldest. It's a combination of the oldest. I don't have a lot of old whiskey anymore. So that's probably part of it. I'm looking at the shelf I apologize for not looking at the camera, guys. I've been looking at the shelf trying to think what I can compare this to that I have on my shelf right now, but This is like, okay, I don't want to compare it to Brora 35 because that's not a fair comparison. Brora 35 has like a legacy behind it and all these other things. But like, if someone told me that this was a Brora, I'd be like, maybe.
Yeah, no, I could be confused with Brora 100%.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't get like that farmy note, I guess, maybe is like
a
telling tale, but the farmy notes, like in the few Brewers we've tried, they vary. Yeah. Some of them are way more farmy than others.
Absolutely. That 38-year-old had the farmy notes. I would say the 38-year-old is obviously better than this. But some of the Brewers that we've had, like the 35, I think there was a 30 we tried as well.
Yeah.
I would put this right up against them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That 38-year-old was in a league of its own, in my opinion, but... Mm. This is really good, man. This is really good.
Yeah, really, really nice.
Now, did you see what the secondary price on this is now?
Yeah, let's just check the auction market. I'll throw it up on the screen.
While you're doing that, I mean, something needs to be said about scouting out high quality blends. Scouting out high quality blends that you're going to save money on, because you will do that. You will say, like, if this was a single malt, like I said, this would be, you know, starting price $700-800 Canadian. By this time, like, it's already a few years old, it would probably be worth $3,000. But because it's a blend, it's probably not much more than $1,000.
Yeah. So this bottle looked like it peaked like a year ago or a year or a bit ago. Now, most recent auction prices, like most recently, 380 British pounds.
That's a steal.
On the UK market.
That's your best bang for your buck.
That's right, not now. Bad.
I would buy another one. I would buy another one of these at that price.
Like, this thing peaked at 500 pounds like over a year ago.
Think about something that's roughly $750-800 Canadian that beats that right now.
Mm-hmm.
What? Yeah, maybe like a Springbank 21 depending on the year.
Yeah.
Right? Maybe the Springbank 25 depending on the year.
Yeah.
If you're getting it at $800 anymore, are you getting Springbank 25 at $800 anymore?
No, I don't think you are. I think it's over 1,000 for sure.
What's beating that at that price?
Yeah, that's a good point.
I don't know. I can't think of anything right now. You know, we compared it to Highland Park 30. Highland Park 30 is like $3,000 now.
Yeah.
It's like $2,500.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's completely out of touch. So what do you compare it to? It's better than any 25-year-old on the market. And most of the 25-year-olds on the market are around $700-800 now.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, I mean, Compass Box, there's definitely value with Compass Box. I mean, obviously, you know, we talked about it before, like, the General is the one that gets all the praise because it was, like, this weird kind of, like, old mystery cask that they found, like, you know, behind a shelf or something that had some really cool old whiskey in it. And that one still goes for lots of money on the secondary market. I'll put it up here, what it goes for. But, yeah, I mean, like, this one's really nice. And for 380 pounds, you get that at auction for 380?
I do that all day.
That's not bad.
I would do that all day.
That's not bad.
I would do that all day.
Maybe this banana note now on the finish of this thing.
The longer you let this sit, the more you're going to get out of it. Like, yeah. I might actually put the rest aside and finish it later because, man, I'm ready to score this. I don't know about you, but I'm really enjoying this.
It's really, really nice. Yeah. Go ahead.
I'm going to go 91.5. So, I mean, based on my old scoring, you know what that would probably be.
Yeah, that's huge.
It's huge.
Yeah, yeah.
So 91.5 for me.
Yep, and I'm 92 all day long on this thing. Yeah, it's definitely a special pour. If you're looking for like a refined whiskey with lots of notes, tropical waxiness, just a bit of smoke, like this is it. This is so good. This is like the poor man's Highland Park 30.
You honestly, if you would impress anybody with this whiskey. Mm-hmm. Like if there's aficionados out there that haven't tried this and you pour this for them, they're going to be blown away.
Yeah.
And you don't have to break them. I mean, it's a lot of money. Let's not kid ourselves. That's a lot of money.
Yeah.
You know, like people hear when we say, oh yeah, this was an $800 bottle. And they're like, what, you spent what? But we've spent more on bottles.
Yeah.
I would not regret spending $800 on that.
Yeah.
I would not regret it at all. I would actually, if I could, probably look for another one in and around that price.
Compass Box has gotten out of control with how much they're putting to market. I mean, I can't keep up with how much stuff they have going on right now.
I don't know, but I feel like some of their best stuff has already come out.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's kind of my only concern with Compass Box is like whether our Flaming Heart video comes out before or after this, we're going to record it next. That's old whiskey too. Those are older whiskeys as well in those Flaming Hearts. And they were like sub $200.
Yeah.
Right. So we're going to talk about that later, but, mm-hmm. Can they still keep doing that?
Yeah, it's a great point. I mean, you know, when we talked to James about, you know, the independent bottling market and like, you know, he talked about Compass Box and like how they have a huge, you know, stock of whiskeys, and obviously John Glazer has that connection with Diageo.
Yeah.
So if there's still that connection, then yeah, he could still be getting lots of whiskeys from the Diageo profile or collection anyway.
So unless this ends up under the Diageo umbrella Compass box, like John Glazer sells it to them. Mm-hmm. You think they're going to still give their 30-year-old Clelie?
Oh, they would bastardize. They would ruin it, I'm sure. Unless they kept John Glazer around and do it. But
I'm saying, you think they're going to still give those casks to John Glazer now?
No.
Like, they're not giving it to anybody else. Why him? Okay, no. Maybe your relationship's great, but what are they profiting from it?
No, why wouldn't they just bottle their own, like, 40-year-old Kalila?
And charge three times as much.
Yeah.
The Kalila 30 that we split, that was over $1,000 bottle.
I was going to say it was $700. I thought it was a good deal. Was it not a good deal?
Maybe you're right. I can't remember.
I don't remember either.
Everything blend. Like, I'm approaching 8 years on Whiskey in the Six. And I have no recollection. Sometimes I have to ask P-Boss,
yeah,
Silent Bob, what I paid. Yeah, he remembers stuff.
He'll know. I thought we got a good deal on it. That's why we pulled the trigger. I thought it was like $700, which is still obviously a lot of money. But for a 30-year-old official bottling.
No, that's a good deal. If that's what we paid, then it was worth it.
And did it come in at cask strength?
It was cask strength.
Yeah.
It wasn't as good as this. Mm-hmm. It wasn't as good as this, in my opinion. This is better.
Yeah.
And like, probably by like two or three marks.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
I don't remember what I scored it, but
I probably scored it high, but that was a different time. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I honestly believe that I'm harder to please nowadays. And obviously that sounds like arrogant or whatever. And I'm not trying to be. I'm just saying, like, because of all the stuff that we've tried, you have to drop the bar somehow.
Everyone goes through that.
Yeah. Like, we tried 80-year-old Glenlivet from Gordon McPhail. Like, how do you equate that to some of the stuff that you can't.
No, I remember seeing whiskey reviewers in their early days score Macallan 12 Sherry Cask, 96 out of 100.
Yeah.
I'm like, ooh, we didn't leave much room for the 18 or anything else.
What about the 99 to Ardbeg 10?
Right, yeah, exactly. Like, yeah. So yeah, the more you drink, the more experience you have, the scores will come down. Which you thought was the best ever is leagues lower when you try something that fits you a little bit more to your own palate.
I'm hoping to find a whiskey that we scored like high back then that we retry now and think it's even better than it was.
Ooh, that's a great question. Yeah.
You know, because there's got to be something like that out there.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Yeah, no, that's a good question.
I'm wondering like. Those old Balblairs that we tried that were really, really good, like that cask strength Gordon McPhail Balblair that we all raved about.
Yeah.
And then we tried a million cask strength Gordon McPhails after that.
Yeah.
Would we feel the same way now?
Mm-hmm.
I'm very curious. Do you still have a bottle of that?
No.
Damn. I know. That bottle was, like, from my recollection, that was an incredible bottle.
The Gordon McPhail Balblair?
The brown tin. Remember that?
Yeah. We know where that bottle went. It went to James as a gift for taking us out to BC. Right. Yeah.
Well, he deserved it.
I wonder if he cracked it. We should get him to send us a sample.
You know, it's funny because he probably would.
Oh, he for sure would.
He would.
It's like, James, remember that bottle we gifted you?
Can you crack it?
Can you open that and like pour us like 200 milliliters back, please?
Oh, man. Our buddy James. Poor guy.
Yeah, take a drink.
So yeah,
Tobias and the Angel. Do you know the story behind this? Is it a thing?
Tobias and the Angel. I think there is an actual story. I don't know what it is, and I probably just don't care. I think it's that's guys. You don't come here for historical facts.
I thought you were like a graduate of Sunday school. You should like know this stuff.
Yeah, I'm a practicing Catholic, but. Yeah, no, I don't. I have no idea if this is any link to Catholicism. I bet you it's something. Obviously, the angel Tobias. I don't know.
I mean, the Compass Box artwork never fails to deliver. I always love it. I always think they have the nicest looking labels. They're all kind of pieces of art. Literally, they do it the best. I think really nice.
Yeah, man, I'm so happy with that trade. Like, I still have. Hazelburn 21 up there, and if we did a head to head, it would absolutely embarrass that Hazelburn 21.
Yeah,
not that I was, and it wasn't a bad whiskey, it was a good whiskey.
I liked it,
it was very good.
I liked it,
but this is in a league of its own,
yeah, for sure. Let us know in the comments down below, where does Compass Box rank for you, and what is the best Compass Box you've tried to date so far? This is it for me.
This is the best one.
Yeah.
This is the best one. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks so much for watching, guys. Really much appreciate it. Have a good one.
Cheers.